Hi, my name's Julie Mackin, and welcome to More Civil Societies. You know, great public policy isn't all sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Sometimes it's the nerdiest of things that can make a really big difference to our lives. And when it comes to nerdy, few things define that term better than alternate indicators, or indeed, indicators collectively. Indicators are used to count kind of what counts for us. At least that's the theory behind it. But taking a glimpse at how the most common indicator works underscores what a disaster it can be when it actually doesn't count what matters to most of us. The GDP is probably the most commonly used and most powerful economic indicator. It's powerful because if the GDP falls, well, so do governments. And it's powerful because its strength or weakness determines the macroeconomic settings for Australia. So yeah, little GDP, say it quickly, hardly noticed, but very powerful. It essentially tracks money in and out of the national till. So lots of money in is assumed to be a very good news story. GDP is growing, marvellous. And money going out is a very bad story. But this is how it actually works. The most famous example could be when the Exxon Valdez oil tanker ran aground in Alaska. On March 24, 1989, the Exxon Valdez ran aground in northern Prince William Sound, spilling 42 million litres of crude oil and contaminating almost 2,000 kilometres of shoreline. The spill killed over 2,000 sea otters, over 300 harbour seals, and about 250,000 seabirds died in the days immediately following it. It was an historic environmental disaster for the people of Alaska and the creatures that called Alaska home. But because it was so devastating, it was really terrific for the GDP of Alaska. After all those people and technology deployed and employed to try and clean up the mess really drove economic activity. And the fact that the environment had been destroyed for decades to come was really no problem because the environment has no economic value according to the GDP, unless it's being used for farming. So it was a complete disaster and great for the GDP. Or we could have a look at, you know, what happens when the community ties wear thin, when communities are beset with addiction and other social health issues. And we see families and friends who live there installing security doors, security windows, alarms, which is representative of a loss of safety and a loss of trust in their community. But it's excellent for the GDP because that means someone's buying grills and alarms and someone's installing them. So a lot of economic activity and a devastated community. This wouldn't be a problem if we all knew the limits of this dummy indicator and if we didn't put too much store by it. It would not matter that much if we had already really useful indicators that told us how we were tracking in terms of the things that matter to us. For instance, if we had a national resilience indicator that showed how well our environment and biodiversity was going, that could show how healthy and happy people were, that could record investments in education, health, childcare, aged care, and research and development as investments instead of how they're currently measured, which is as costs. If we had a national indicator that showed social resilience and strength of relationships within our community, imagine what would happen. Imagine if at the end of every economic report on the news, they read out the latest national resilience indicator and talked in detail about the things this indicator counted, you know, what was going on, where some were going strong, where others were floundering. Imagine if every budget time the Treasurer had to address these indicators of national well-being and explain how she was going to build national resilience. That exercise of imagination, suddenly you see the conversation begins to change. the values start to have relevance to us, and suddenly we have a way to talk about what matters to us. We can talk about what gets counted because it counts to us and to our lives. This is never going to happen under the major political parties because whatever the propaganda they produce, neither of the major parties really wants to make such a substantive change to the way we have our economic discussions. Because there's a chance they could lose control of that agenda. But it could be pushed by the crossbenchers. It could be pushed by the Greens, by the minor parties. They could push it. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain by changing the way we measure what matters most to us. See? Indicators. Who knew they could be so sexy?